taken in the butt by Brad in that one scene. They didn't do that in 1915.
You can't say that either.
And then she's taken in the butt.
No.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. Go back and rewind it, Russ.
I'm not going to do that.
You are.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
Hey, brother man. And welcome to Just Another Review Podcast, or JARP for short. I'm one of your two hosts, Sean Hogan.
Can you smell what the Russ is cooking?
If so, give us your feedback at jarppodcast@gmail.com and let us know what you think about the show.
That's right. This podcast is meant to be a companion for you post-episode, where we'll be talking and spoiling the plot lines of the first episode of a particular streaming series. Once we get our jabs in, we will then rate it and let you know if we're interested in the series or not.
This episode, we will be reviewing Heels on Stars. So if you haven't seen it already, go watch it. Or be warned, there are spoilers ahead. But alongside Heels, we will also be reminiscing down memory lane with the 1994's Legends of the Fall.
Yes, yes, this week's theme is long hair and sweaty buff men.
I couldn't be more erect, I mean excited. Let's do them, I mean this. Let's do this.
Let's just all calm down now. Yeah, I was just scouring YouTube one day on trailers, and this trailer for Heels on Stars / Crave came up, and it intrigued me. I knew nothing about it, and just I saw the trailer, and I kind of put this one in the back burner as we took a little break here. And now we're back, season two, JARP.
Season two, JARP.
And yeah, so here I was glad this is one you didn't already see before I could suggest it. So,
no,
yeah.
I think I saw it on the Crave. Of course, we say Stars, but it all falls under our Crave subscription.
Right. We get
which
a couple
is HBO
things.
And everything else, but yes, I think I saw it, but it didn't register in my brain.
Cool. Well, who's in it? Stephen Amell.
Sean, who's in it?
Stephen Amell. Amell.
Amell.
Amell. I don't know. I never watched The Arrow, but I guess he was The Arrow for the running of the show.
Is that a DC universe?
Yeah, yeah. It's like a Batman universe, I believe, spinoff, The Arrow.
Is that what they call it now? The Batman universe?
I don't know. That's what I call it, because it's the only thing I can relate to, the Batman. I am Batman.
That's what DC is. It's Batman.
That's right. It's Batman and everything else, right?
Yeah. Is there anything else, really?
Yeah, yeah. Lead guy, Stephen Amell, he plays Jack Spade. His brother, Alexander Ludwig, plays Ace Spade. He's from The Hunger Games and Vikings. And I remember him from falling out of a helicopter in Lone Survivor, Peter Berg's Lone Survivor. He was a Navy SEAL, and he gets shot down by a rocket launcher while they're trying to rescue their first rescue attempt of the four stranded Navy SEALs. And yeah.
Did Mark Wahlberg kill him?
No. What are they called? Bad guys. The bad guys killed him.
And did Mark
Insurgents? Is that the right word?
Did Insurgents? Did Mark Wahlberg survive in Lone Survivor?
He was the lone survivor.
Oh, spoiler.
Not really. Yeah, you kind of look at the title and you're like, huh? Well, it's not much guessing.
Who's gonna live?
Yeah, starring Mark Wahlberg, Lone Survivor, a man against all odds. Will he survive? Like,
probably yes. Or else we'll give you back your ticket money.
Yes, yes.
What did he play in Hunger Games?
I don't know. I don't know.
Interesting.
I wasn't too interested in the Hunger Games. I watched the first one once.
You never watched the other Hunger Games movies?
Nope.
Oh,
nope.
Man, you gotta get on that.
I know, and Jennifer
Lawrence?
Yeah, I guess I'm not that big of a fan. I can't remember her name. But yeah, geez, no, I'm a bit of a fan of her.
Yeah. Katniss Everdeen, buddy. You got to get on that.
Probably in more of her her more serious roles.
Oh, okay, I see. She was pretty fucking serious in this. Oh, I swore.
Sorry. Whoa, easy on the swearing.
Sorry about
okay,
that.
Okay, well, we're still doing the swear jar. Might be season two, but we're still doing the swear jar.
Okay.
Anyways, the females in this show, Allison Luff is one of them. She plays Stacy Spade, the wife of Jack Spade. I have looked at her IMDb. I had no idea of any of the shows, so I'm not going to bring any of them up. And Kelly Berglund plays Crystal, and I guess she was in that movie Cherry. I was just about to watch it, that Cherry movie with Tom Holland, and then you told me to not bother. So I
did I tell you not to bother? I think I saw the reviews. I have not seen Cherry, and I was kind of excited about Cherry. Knowing like, you know, these are the Marvel guys. I saw the reviews weren't too good, so I didn't.
Maybe that was it. We talked about it, and right. You said the reviews are bad, and then you totally sucked all the energy out of me, of my,
But we should maybe give it a shot, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Give it a shot.
Yeah.
For Crystal.
Sure. For Crystal. The series
Speaking of Marvel.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for the lead in. Let's try it again, because, you know, we do have the power of editing.
Speaking of Marvel.
Yes, Russ. Speaking of Marvel, this was created by Michael Waldron. He was writer of Doctor Strange 2, the new movie about to come out. He's also known for producing Rick and Morty, another show I didn't get into, alongside The Arrow, and producing credits on Loki, too.
You have an excuse for Arrow, but you have no excuse for Rick and
I know.
Morty.
I was going to say, there's no reason I haven't watched Rick and Morty. I think maybe because when I heard about it, I didn't have cable anymore, so now I've got to, quote-unquote, find it. So we'll see. Yeah, maybe you have it on disc or something.
I've actually, a friend of mine lent me, I think, his first couple seasons, so I've seen it because I know English. But I haven't seen all of Rick and Morty. It is something that I'd like to catch up on, but it's amazing. I'm sure Michael Waldron, because that's how you pronounce his last name, is a writer for Rick and Morty. He wrote, okay. He was a series creator for Loki. And I think they loved what he did on Loki, that he was pretty much like, all right, you need to write Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. So I think, obviously.
It'll be easy to tie the two of them in then.
Yes, my assumption is yes, for sure.
Having the same writer, right?
Yeah. And so excited to see what he does there. I really enjoyed Loki. So, and this threw me off. This fact threw me off. The fact that the same guy who is is part of Rick and Morty was a series the series lead for Loki and is writing Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, and he wrote and created Heels. This is
yeah, it's very left field compared to the others, eh?
It doesn't seem to connect in my brain.
Well, let's just see how well he does in doing something different, right?
Yeah.
Back on the heels of Heels, synopsis, two brothers and rivals, one a villain or heel in the ring, the other a hero or face, war over their late father's wrestling promotion, vying for national attention in small town Georgia. I don't know. Heels, let's get at it, Russ.
Okay.
I don't know. Anything else you want to add before we break down the episode?
Just keep going, man. It's so exciting when you explain
it. Okay, let's go. Episode one, kayfabe. Now, kayfabe. What the fuck does kayfabe mean?
Don't know.
They said it a couple times. Didn't ever look it up?
I didn't even look it up. I had read your episode notes here, and I had made a mental note that I didn't understand kayfabe, and then didn't go any further than that.
Okay. Well, whatever. The episode is called Kayfabe. Here we go. The owner of the small town Duffy Wrestling League has died and left eldest son Jack Spade in charge of the legacy that remains. Reinvigorated recently with the new addition of younger brother Ace, the league has grown in popularity and intensity as the crowds increase and the plot lines thicken. Ace, the local hero, or face as they're called, has been scouted by a former local legend, filling the young star's head with dreams, drugs, and a promise of a brighter future away from small town life.
Sean, did you write this?
I did. Yeah. I wrote this all on my own.
You're amazing.
With his trusty valet Crystal supporting him, they both pitch a grand finale script to Jack, who also wears the hat of local villain, or heel, so they call, hence the show title Heels. Jack's inability now to think outside the box causes tension between the brothers during the days leading up to the match. And the episode concludes with the main event between two rivals. Two brothers, one face, one heel, only one winner. And both brothers have different ideas in mind. And Jack is though the first to sucker punch Ace, and then he arm bars him.
Hey.
Before getting the ref to ring the bell, causing the match to end prematurely, much to the crowd's disliking. So Jack leaves the ring then, showered in garbage from the crowd and belt in arm, as Ace stands in the center mat.
Are you,
yeah,
you choke arm, up a hairball? Is there a hairball?
I'm choking on some penis that I had.
Come
earlier.
On. That was a last podcast, last season joke. Mm. That's weird.
Furball.
We've matured since then.
Sorry, it was a furball. I just didn't want to admit it. I thought I'd have an easier time admitting penis. Showered in garbage and belt in arm as Ace stands center mat, arm nearly broken, along with his dreams of turning pro. Ba, ba, ba. And he cried a bit. He did cry a bit. I wasn't crying.
Yeah.
He did cry a bit in the center.
He did cry, didn't he? You in your intro, you mentioned Jack's inability to think outside the box. I feel like it's not a mental disconnect for him, but it's more of a trying to ensure he has control, everybody.
Well, for sure.
I think he could kind of see how that might be a better fit, but he's unwilling to give up the control that he has over the storyline.
Oh, for sure.
And over the control over his brother, perhaps.
God forbid someone's got a good idea that actually works, right?
Possibly.
And then that steamrolls into, well, I've got ideas too. And then everyone's got fucking ideas.
Oh.
And now Jack's not in charge anymore. And his wife leaves him.
Oh my gosh.
His kid grows up and she becomes a stripper.
Oh.
And then,
kid grows up and becomes a stripper. Yeah. 100%.
I don't know. It just, you know, things steamroll. They get crazy when you lose control.
Yeah. I can't wait. As a father myself.
What'd you think? So what'd you think?
What did I think of this show?
Heels.
Yeah, it was fine.
That's how I felt too. Fine.
Yeah, yeah, it was fine.
It ended, I was like, yeah.
I think this kind of amateur community wrestling is interesting. Like I I do improv myself. Post COVID. Not to say that COVID's over, but just the fact that COVID was introduced in 2020. This is the first time being in front of a live audience. So, and I do improv, theater, sports. That's, you know, there's a lot of connections between kind of wrestling and theater sports, very much dependent on the crowd.
Do you get sweaty and rub against your improv
100%,
partners?
Yes, 100%.
Okay, I see the parallels now. Okay,
yes,
keep going.
Thank you. And again, you're working, you create this fabrication of a conflict. Especially with theater sports improv style, where you've got two teams vying for the audience's love, the audience is voting for their best scene, similar to wrestling where the audience is cheering for one and booing the other. But it's all, there's no real actual conflict in the ring. It's all fabricated and all there.
Right.
For fun.
Wrestling is just, is
professional
another form
theater.
Of storytelling, right?
It's theatrics.
You're telling stories and the main conflict is a battle in the middle of the ring. And then they bookend it and fill it with all the jibber jabber and jawing at each other. And I'm the good guy, I'm the bad guy, getting the crowd riled up. Right. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you and I both grew up with, WWF World Wrestling Federation when it was still called that, and you know, we grew up with the Hulk Hogan's, the Macho Man Randy Savage's, the Jake the Snakes, the British Bulldogs,
Ultimate Warrior. I always thought that guy was pretty cool.
Million Dollar Man, Andre the Giant, like that was it was big. I remember my grandparents like buying tickets for us to go watch live wrestling, and then Hulk Hogan not being able to go, and for some reason we didn't go after the fact because maybe I wasn't interested anymore.
He pulled a no-show?
He pulled a no-show, and I guess I was so upset by it that we didn't end up going. I'm not quite sure, but we never ended up going.
I never got into the wrestling. Like, you know, it was big in the 80s, like you said, as we were growing up, and you had the odd friend or two, or probably more than the odd friend or two, who was really into it and had all the other little rubber figurines and all that jazz and stuff like that. But I never fully got in. I'd watch the odd match on TV, but I never became.
I remember enjoying it.
In it. Yeah,
and, it was okay. But it was always very like I was like arms reach away or arm's length away. But the idea of like this kind of backyard neighborhood wrestling that these, you know, there are local people within probably every community that do exactly what's in this show.
Right.
And they, and it's cool. It's theater. And people totally get behind it. And we live outside of Vancouver in British Columbia, Canada. And there are places locally where people come and watch local wrestling and have a lovely time. I've heard great things about it, but I've never seen it myself. So
I've seen it. It's great. It's a great, good time. Yeah. A little local Rex. It's not quite the level that this is that they're presenting in Heels. And obviously Heels is not quite the WWF, but it's all the same thing. You know, it's still the same type of resin. Guys are still doing the same kind of moves and all that. It's just, you know, they don't have the fog machines and the lights going and you know, maybe, you know, the pretty girls and all that kind of stuff.
Did you throw garbage?
No, I was not that entwined in the story that I felt, you know, compelled to throw garbage at the Heels.
That seems like a slippery slope to allow people to throw garbage. That could be so easily.
Well, let's be honest. Switch
to like bottles or cans, and then you're just like, well, we're just actors. Why are you throwing bottles at us? Like, this just seems like you get out of control.
Well, this, you know, this, what's the, again, I'm always lost for words. This stadium, cathedral, wherever it is, this arena where they at, you know, it's not very high class, and I don't think the customers are very.
Whoa! What are you trying to say about wrestling?
I'm trying to say wrestling's for white trash motherfuckers.
All right, okay, guys. Thanks a lot. Thanks for listening.
We
gotta go back.
Thanks for the podcast. We're ending it here, season 2, episode 18.
Oh man.
No.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean the ring where they're performing, although it's big and got the fog machines and lights, it is kind of dirty and dingy, so I don't think anybody had too many reserves about throwing their popcorn around and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah. I got some questions for you. Ready for some questions?
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Here we go. Did this show, written by Michael Waldron, writer producer of Rick and Morty, you were right, he is a producer of Rick and Morty as well, series lead on Loki, writer of Doctor Strange to Multiverse of Madness, did this show Heels,
is there a question coming here,
did this show Heels pass the Bechdel test?
I believe there was a scene between Crystal and the, who the hell was she?
Willie.
It's not his sister. Yeah.
Willie. The
manager.
She's like the manager. She's Mary McCormick plays Willie, who's kind of like, yeah, she runs everything behind the scenes kind
of. Yeah. Production manager, I guess. Yeah. Sort of thing. Yeah. There was a scene between the two of them, I believe. I only watched the show once, so I got to go back. But I believe there was.
Honestly,
I believe they used their names.
I think you're right. I think it just
passed.
And the Bechdel test is obviously just a frame of reference to look at how women are written about in modern media. And I think there's three kind of tests. We haven't talked about this for a while. One is one thing is, do they have names? Do they, do two women characters talk to each other, and do they talk to each other,
about
other than men? And so I think they do. There is the aspect of these two characters. You're talking about
Crystal. They're talking about the locker rooms, right?
So there is this relationship, and this leads into my next one. So my next question is, so right now the women characters seem in the first episode of Heels seem to be only serving the male characters.
Right.
So my question to you, Sean, is, will this change? Will the relationship between Crystal and Mary McCormick's character, Willie, improve and evolve in something similar, and dare I say, what we've seen in shows like Ted Lasso, where you see this amazing relationship between Rebecca and Keeley. Will we see something like this by the end of the season? What do you think?
Between the two women?
Between Crystal, the wannabe wrestler, I can only suppose, but currently the valet of the Jackass brother Ace, and then between her and Willie, who is kind of like the stage manager. Will their relationship improve by the end of the season?
I think so, and that ties into some of my predictions, where I think that Crystal's going to start wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, that Jack made a big no-no in the end of the match, ending that match prematurely, and whatever fan base they had there, I mean, they're not going to lose everybody, but I think they're going to lose a huge chunk of their fan base. They're going to need to do something in these next episodes to bring the crowd back in. And I think Crystal's going to start wrestling. It's probably going to take some convincing. She's probably going to have to, I don't know. She's going to have to prove herself somehow. And I bet you she gets this production manager, Willie, on board. And the two of them are like, come on, Jack, you've got to give it a try. And I bet it becomes a success. And all of a sudden there's female wrestlers, or she might even end up wrestling some of the guys until it becomes popular enough,
okay,
where other women in the town are like, okay, I want to wrestle too. And they start joining. And now they've got a women's section in the Duffy Wrestling League.
How about this? Currently, episode one, Crystal is the valet. And we'll talk about this in a second, what the hell valet means. But Crystal is the valet of Ace, the younger brother, dipshit.
She's like his hype man,
and,
right?
And he's the face. He's supposedly the good guy in the ring.
Yeah.
She's his valet. Will Ace be Crystal's valet by the end of the season?
No, I don't
think that's too much of a switch.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Yeah.
That's my hope. That's my dream.
I don't think Crystal will be a valet for much longer, though.
No, I don't think she'll be a valet for much longer, but I wonder if Ace will be her valet. Wouldn't that be a nice status change?
But it would be nice. I just don't see it happening.
And my final question for you is the older brother, Jack, who runs the show, who currently writes himself as a heel, will he become a face by the end of the season?
I don't know how he's going to do that now with what he just did. He sort of had that script in the works, and it seemed like he was on his way of sort of doing that, transitioning with that other guy, even though that other guy wasn't on board. I don't know. I thought for sure, through the episode that he was going to, and that would be a possibility. But now after what he's done, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think so.
No. Okay.
No, I think he's going to go down as a heel for life.
He's a heel for life.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just an aspiration we can all kind of move towards, is just being a heel for life.
And I've got a note about that too. How I said I liked the commitment that they all had to their characters, and because it was such a small town, they had to maintain that act, mm-hmm, you know, when not mm-hmm wrestling. And I kind of agree with that one guy that didn't want to be transition into bad guy, because he's like, look, man, I gotta walk around town and be a bad guy all the time. He's like, I can't do it, you know. I'm a softy. I don't want people hating me and all that. And Jack doesn't seem to mind, you know. The kids run when the guy, man, he's coming down the street and the kids run away from him, you know. He's all scary and stuff. But I don't blame the guy, you know. Small town like that, you wouldn't want to be. I bet you Jack likes the space and all that, whereas this other guy that he was asking to be a bad guy, I don't think he really fit the bill of having to play the bad guy all the time. It would be tiring to play the bad guy all the time.
Yeah, I can only imagine what that would be like. I mean, I think you have to be somewhat antisocial to even want to go down that route. You know, you're happy not talking to anybody else, so you're happy to, even though you're maybe a lovely person at heart, but like, you know what, I'd rather just not talk to anybody else, so I'll just play the asshole and people will just think I'm the asshole, so they'll leave me alone. But speaking of asshole, the younger brother is a big who plays the hero in the ring, which they call the face, but is just a terrible dude.
Yeah, he's just using that crystal girl. He just treats her and walks all over, you know, just, you know.
Yeah, and to the point where I actually didn't, I felt that was maybe a little bit of a flaw in the whole storytelling of the show. Like, I didn't understand why anyone put up with his shit. Like, it's two brothers left with kind of like the legacy of their dad, who's now passed, but had kind of started this wrestling business and kind of left it to their sons. But the older brother does everything. Jack, he writes everything. He keeps the business going. The younger brother seems to do nothing but just kind of take the benefit of being the face of the matches, which seems actually kind of new within the context of the storyline. But also treats everyone around him like crap. But yet he seems to be a god. Like, everyone kind of perceives him as like the hero of the town. Yet there's nothing to me that would give him, I don't know, other than the fact
it's an act. It's an act that everybody else buys, but those behind the scenes know the real truth, right?
Everybody seems to know that. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Yeah. Like, he tears the strip off.
Not the kids in the stand. Not the kids in the crowd, though. I guess you know what I mean.
I guess not.
You
know. Yeah.
You know. Hence, at the end, you know, he's on the mat holding his arm, pretty much in tears, and so are all the kids in the crowd too, right? You know, yeah. They don't. They only see Ace the hero, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think because we don't see what the Duffy Wrestling League was like prior to Ace, and maybe how destitute it was, and you know, maybe how much Ace actually has changed it just from his presence alone. So of course all that went straight to his head, and you know, he's got a huge ego now. And then with that wrestler from out of town who turned pro coming back and saying, hey, we've got scouts looking at you and this and that, you know,
we've got scouts looking at you.
All went straight to his head.
Yeah.
And so much so that you look at some of the shit he said to his brother and all that at the end there.
Yeah, not a functional family relationship.
Who is there, though, really?
Right, I guess so. Right. I mean, really. Like, we're all just wrestlers on this theater of life.
Yeah. From the trailer and I think from the beginning, I had kind of higher hopes for this series. It had a very speaking of Lone Survivor, a Peter Berg feel to it, the director of Lone Survivor, obviously, but Friday Night Lights and The Leftovers. It kind of had that melancholic sort of gritty, really bit of small town real feel to it. And at other times, it just felt kind of like a lower tier series, you know? So, it sort of bounced back and forth, I think, between that. You know, I had hopes, and it seemed like it could be almost like an HBO caliber-esque series, and then it just became mediocre at times. And so, yeah, I was a little disappointed. That it wasn't bad, like you said, wasn't bad. But I think, you know, from the trailer and the look of it and all that, I think I was maybe expecting a little bit more of a hard drama.
The show, as I understand it, takes place over pretty much one day. And so they do. So the idea is that they wrestle every Sunday night. And
1 week, you mean?
I feel like it's pretty much all of Sunday, because they kind of wake up, they go to church.
But he was writing the script all week.
I feel like it was all day. That was another issue that I had, because it felt like he was writing the script all day. Like, I only watched it once, so and I apologize, everybody, if I'm wrong, but in my idea, it was all taking place pretty much in one day. He hadn't even developed the script for this 30-minute fight sequence that he was going to do with his brother, which did happen, but the script he was literally starting the script minutes before their fight started.
Yeah, and they didn't have time to rehearse.
They didn't practice. They didn't rehearse. I'm like, I don't understand the reality of this. I'm not a wrestler, so I apologize. Maybe you don't. There were other wrestlers rehearsing, so I only assume you're supposed to.
I'm pretty sure for big main events like that, they rehearse some.
Yeah.
You know, you don't rehearse, someone gets hurt, man, like big time. I would think so, anyways. I think it was over the course of a week, Russ. I can see how you were probably confused. You probably had a lot of to drink that day. But this, no, this there was a couple days prior. No, even at the barbecue, I think they mentioned something. You know, it's a couple days.
The barbecue later. Was at church. They went to church. It was Sunday morning. They went to church. I'm pretty sure the whole thing happened.
I don't know. We'll have to go back. We'll have to go back.
I've seen Glow. I know how wrestling works.
Okay. I give you my prediction on Crystal. Do you have any predictions yourself?
No. I mean, I guess my only prediction is the fact that this is the fact that this is a Michael Waldron, and I've seen the other works that he was. I'm wondering. And this is going to sound pretty douchey of me to say. I wonder if this episode is just a very easy entry for kind of more of a conservative right-wing audience to kind of get into. But by the end of the season, the storyline will be a lot more progressive in how it's treating its women characters and how it's kind of approaching the whole world of wrestling and just like maybe kind of working, you know, people working through all their stubbornness and stuff like that. That's, I guess, I like looking at maybe who's involved in this production. That's kind of my prediction, I guess. Maybe there will be a little bit of a 180 from now until then.
As far as the culture within Oh, just the culture itself of wrestling.
Yeah,
That's
on my only prediction. They do love a big a tailgate party though.
They show up early and they get all rowdy.
Just for professional football games, but no, like in this town,
maybe they don't have football in this town. This is what they have, right? You know, some towns have hockey, some have college football. This town, Duffy, this is what they had, man. I mean,
little tailgate party before the wrestling match. Hey, do you want to rate this?
Yeah.
This shit is awesome.
You suck.
Cool. Okay. This is a part where we rate the episode. We give it JARP ratings 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We don't believe in a zero because, you know.
I've never seen a zero. I never met anybody who has seen a zero, so I don't believe in it.
I'm in the middle of watching a zero right now. I can't maybe talk about if I can even get through it.
About heels? You're talking about something else?
No, I'm not talking about heels. I'm talking about something else. A movie that my manager told me just to not even bother, yet now I'm trying to bother. Now I see why he said don't bother.
He's like, dude, taste this. It tastes like shit. You should try this. And you're like, okay.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Or don't taste it. It tastes like shit. And you're like, okay, I'll try it.
Anyways, a JARP rating of 5 is the best thing on earth. And a 1 is meh, pretty bad. And everything else in between. I'll go first. I gave it a 3.25.
Whoa, a 3.25.
Well, I was going to give it a 3. And then I kind of, I'll give it a 0.25 because I am kind of intrigued to watch the next episode. I sort of want to see what
happens.
Good,
because you will be.
You're going to make me watch. I know. I'm having a hard time with Sweet Tooth, but we'll get to that.
You're having a hard time with Sweet Tooth? Goodness.
Yeah, I got a write-up.
Whoa.
I feel this has the potential. We're talking about heels now. A 3.25. I feel this had the potential to be an HBO caliber series, but it's just falling short. The acting is fair and everyone is nice to look at, but ever so often it feels...
They're so nice to look at.
A little melodramatic and removes me from what I hoped would be a hard drama. I was expecting a bit more from the show, maybe a bit more depth and production quality, but overall it was decent. I'm interested to give the second episode a go, but I'm not chomping at the bit to get at it. Yeah.
I gave it a 2.
A 2, okay.
A 2, yeah. It didn't stick with me. There was no lasting impression. When I look at the old Jimmy Henson test, was I a happier person coming out of this show? And I know I was the same person that I was when I entered watching this show.
Yeah, I'll give it that. I just, it ended and I was like, meh.
Yeah. And two is just, yeah, I thought what I liked about it is that it did a really good job introducing me to the world of wrestling, like local wrestling. I really got a good sense of the arena, like the whole Jack's family. I liked the kind of line that Jack, our main character, walked between, like, playing a heel in the ring, but also having to, like, play a heel in real life. But also, obviously, that wasn't him, who he was. He was obviously someone who had a family who wanted to provide a good product to his customers. Had the weight of kind of looking after his brother, but also the competition of other wrestling companies. I love the idea, because as an improv guy myself, I love the idea of his dedication to creating the best story. Like, even though it just felt so hokey when he was talking about it, but then he really did believe his, like, he cared about the story that people were watching and throwing garbage at. I thought, you know, some cool themes in regards to, like, family and the legacy of a father, and what the legacy of a father leaves behind who started this kind of wrestling business. The ideas of, like, the masks we wear in real life and also the personalities.
Shit, you're getting deep, dude.
Yeah. Oh, buddy, I'm on fire.
But I see it. Okay, but I heard a lot of I liked, I loved, but you gave it a two.
Yeah, I mean, here's all the things that I felt like
I consider two, like, a 2.5 is mediocre, I would think. So anything below 2.5. So, and I'm just trying to align with you here. Would you say that it's below meteor?
It's below a meteor scoring.
What's the medium mediocrity? Mediocre. Would you say that
mediocre,
it's
yeah,
below a mediocre show?
I don't know. Maybe it should be a 2.5, like, because as just like a.
I'm just trying to understand your rating system. Because I go 2.5 is mediocre.
Okay.
So when I see your rating of two, I'm thinking you're saying it's below subpar.
Yeah.
Series, which is fine. But I heard a lot of likes and loves.
Yeah. Do you mind? Did I say love? I may have said love.
You did. I'll go back and play.
Do you mind if I say 2.5? I'm gonna
no,
give it
no, I don't
2.5.
Care. No, and I'm not trying to gesture it. I'm just
do you
trying
mind
to
if
understand.
I say 4? Can I say 4 right now?
That's a little that's you know, a little 180. That's
now that
little...
I'm thinking about this.
Heels
is a 5 for me.
Drop everything you're doing.
Stop watching this podcast and go watch Heels. I'm going to say 2.5. I'm going to stick with 2.5. There was aspects in it that I liked, but just overall, when I think about it, overall, it's a 2.5 for me.
I get that. Yeah. Can I change mine to 2.5?
No. I mean,
no, I'm just kidding. I don't want to. No, I don't want. I'll stick with. Yeah, I'll stick with just above.
Chris Bauer, he's an actor. He's in this. He's the scout. And I don't know if you recognize Chris Bauer from anything
else,
but he's in, like, a lot of HBO stuff. I first got to know him as an actor through True Blood. Loved him in True Blood. And so when I see him pop up in here, I'm like, oh, this is cool. Like, I feel like he adds a little gravitas to the ensemble here. But I honestly did not believe him as an ex-wrestler.
No, exactly. He doesn't suit the bill.
This guy was never physical in anything he's ever done. He always plays really good, kind of like alcoholic tash, like smoking characters, which is great. But to me, to think that he was ever in a ring jumping and flipping, I do not believe it. But yeah, 2.5.
Heels. Okay, let's leave it at that.
Let's leave it at that.
Feel like you want to throw up?
Okay.
Temperature check. This is the part where we go back and Russ has made us finish all the series, whether we like them or not. So Russ, Shadow and Bone, how you doing?
Let's just talk about Schmigadoon.
Okay.
Because I didn't watch any Shadow and
Bone. No worries. That's okay.
But I did watch all of Schmigadoon.
Okay.
And unfortunately, it was never as great as the first episode. You know, they're a real truth seeker here. But it was still an enjoyable, a sweet show, and I would recommend it if you've got some time. But
okay, spoilers. Come on, we made some predictions on that. Now that you've seen it, okay, I want to hear some
spoilers for Schmigadoon.
So if you want to finish watching Schmigadoon, don't listen to this part.
And yeah, they can't leave Schmigadoon. The two main characters can't leave Schmigadoon until they find true love, and the true love is with each other.
It was with each other. Okay.
And because there was a couple of characters in the first episode that we thought maybe they would form relationships with, and they do, but they also form relationships with other characters. So they actually quite both characters kind of go off and form multiple different relationships with all these little characters around Schmigadoon before coming back and realizing that, you know what, we love each other. But again, it was just like, it was fun. There was lots of fun little musical beats to it, but the pinnacle for me was probably the first episode for sure.
How much time passed when they left Schmigadoon? So like in the real world, how long were they away for in Schmigadoon?
I think the final scene is probably them hand in hand leaving Schmigadoon. I don't think recollection. Yeah. No, it's not important necessarily. Okay. They come to some sort of understanding and then off they go.
Nice.
But it was nice. Yeah, nice, sweet show. I would recommend it if you like musicals and you're bored.
Speaking of sweets.
Oh, yeah. Sweet.
Yeah, no, I can't. I haven't got past, I don't even know what episode I'm on. Three? Mm. I think I finished three.
Interesting.
They were just saved by that ragamuffin
spoiler alert
kids.
For episode three of Sweet Tooth?
No.
No, you're not going to spoil anything?
No, because it's been a while, so I don't even remember too much. No, like I said, I think it just ended with the Ragamuffin crew.
Well, Sean is not motivated to watch Sweet Tooth.
Why. I rated it well. I liked the first episode. I was excited to watch it and rate it, and then it just...
Yeah.
I don't know. And there's nothing against the show itself. It's just,
what do you have against the show Sweet Tooth?
I don't know. Maybe it's hybrid.
You hate halfies. Hybrids.
Halfies. I do. I'm racist.
So halfies cause the virus, then, I guess. In your opinion,
probably. There's probably halfies, little COVID halfies running around right now. Can I say that?
I think so. Okay. COVID halfies? I don't know. Offend somebody. You usually do, probably.
Probably.
And now you're going to add heels to this list.
Yes. Yes. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bum, 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 bum.
I'll be back.
The part everybody's been waiting for.
The part that you've been waiting for.
Oh, la, 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 la. Media Rewind. The part where we watch old movies and rip the shit out of them because they're nowhere near as good as they were when we were younger. I'm just kidding.
Or maybe they're better as
an adult. Maybe they're just as good.
Yeah.
But we don't know. This episode, we are reviewing 1994's Legends of the Fall.
Brad Pitt.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we know. The Pitt, the Hopkins, Pitt. The Quinn, Henry Thomas, and Julia Ormond. The only movie. I know she's in other movies, but this is the only one.
She was in First Night, I believe. And I think that came out very close to Legends of the Fall. But I think, and then after that, she mainly did TV.
Oh, okay.
She had an amazing part in Mad Men, playing like Don Draper's mother-in-law. Amazing. I hadn't seen this movie for a long time.
Oh, me neither. Yeah.
So great to see it again.
Nice looking movie. Hey,
Very nice movie.
Beautiful. Set on the nice backdrop of
Montana.
It's supposed to be Montana, but it was filmed in Calgary.
No. What?
It was filmed in Canada.
What?
Yeah.
Are you saying they filmed the movie saying it was in the United States, but it was actually filmed in Canada?
Yeah, but they do reference Calgary and Canada in the movie. Oh, so they give it.
Why didn't I? Yeah. I didn't catch that.
When the guys went into the army, they went up and enlisted into the Canadian army.
Oh, right, because Americans hasn't entered into the war yet.
Up into the Calgary regiment.
Because Americans are taking so long to enter the World War. You gotta do something real bad to get the Americans involved. I was watching an interview with Edward Zwick, the director, who at the time, early 1990s, it seemed like the person who was interviewing him was kind of given a hard time, like, oh, so you didn't film this in Montana? And he's like, well, you know, what's the difference? It's pretty much the same mountains. It's the same valleys. It's only 30 miles different. Like he had this kind of complete justified rationale of why, even though we filmed it in Canada, it's exactly like filming in the United States. But again, of course, he admitted to the point that they saved millions of dollars by being able to use the American dollar to film in Canada. And that's why everyone comes up to Hollywood.
They saved $2 million, supposedly, moving the production to Canada. And with a budget of $30 million, I mean, $2 million goes a long way.
100%.
I'm sure.
All that
probably,
money.
Probably paid for Brad Pitt's hair gel for the movie.
It's amazing to see how much like it feels like a Brad Pitt vehicle, even though, you know, like this is early on in his career, but it does seem like it's such a Brad Pitt vehicle, and just the way the camera just
like showboated him, right?
Yeah, it's
like,
here,
look at Brad.
I mean, Edward Zwick obviously knew something that we were yet to know as a society, was that here is the most beautiful man.
Yeah, on the most beautiful backdrop.
And yes, yeah. Beautiful mountains, sure. Beautiful sunset, sure. But look at this guy. Look how he eats.
Yeah. Look at his hair just flow and how it's all backlit the whole time. I mean, he doesn't even have to say anything.
And he just smiles.
The chick, he just,
He just looks at her.
And the chick, and she just throws her pussy at him.
No.
Yes, she does. He didn't even say a word.
Stop
Comes
it.
Back. Shows a little bit of emotion, crying. And she's like, here, Brad, take my pussy, Brad.
No,
take it, take it.
Don't.
Here you go.
No, I apologize
it's
for Sean's
for you.
Words.
We'll get into it.
Yeah, I think she was obviously attracted to him. But I think at the same time, it's like.
She was attracted to everybody.
No.
She couldn't keep her D in her pocket.
No,
her pocket.
You're wrong.
Here it goes.
This is Sean's opinion, not mine. I think, and the camera was attracted to Brad. The directors, the film is attracted to Brad. That's the picture we're trying to portray.
He's the rock that broke everybody.
Right. And so she's just, obviously there's an attraction there. I assume if anyone met Brad Pitt, there would be an attraction.
Well,
there.
For sure. But yeah. I mean, come on. She's with the younger brother. He dies. Okay. Brad comes back, doesn't even say a word. And she's like, oh no. Then she's like kind of, you know, hanging out with the older brother and he proposes, but she's like, no, I don't, you know what I mean? And they spend all this quality time together. And
she doesn't love the older brother.
No, I know. And then Brad Pitt shows up. Don't even say a word. They sleep together. And then they're going to get married the next day.
Well, that's what you would do. It's the early 1900s.
I know. But then he fucks off.
She's
been
in a house.
She then ends up with the older brother. I don't know. All this within 7 years. I mean, I know it's 1920s.
No, exactly. It's 1940s.
But don't you even think for how
she's had to survive.
I don't know. She could have. Sure. She could have picked somebody else other than a brother.
Anthony Hopkins? Who's she going to pick? She's trapped in Montana. She's come out from
east. Town was not far away.
Where was the town?
I don't know.
Exactly.
But they all drove out there a bunch of times.
There's no cell phones. There's no cars. She's trapped.
She's writing letters like, no tomorrow. Like, fucking write to someone else. Say, I'm lonely.
You're not...
Pussy's dry. Come on up here to the farm and stuff me raw.
There's no social media. You can't just write people unless you know who
they are.
She
was writing Brad Pitt. She's just fucking sending it to Timbuktu and he wasn't even getting them. But she was writing. She might as well write to somebody that's going to write back.
I watched an interview with Julie Armand and she, I mean, I think she saw the fact, you know, so there's like, it's the 1900s. So the the fact that women didn't have a lot of options back then,
right?
Not so due to their own, just not claw. Due to their own ability, but that's just the reality of the predicament back then. But then there's like 1990s writing of a woman character,
right?
And it's not, you know, it's not good. It's not fleshed out. But she did like this character versus some of the other characters she played in Hollywood, because there was an ability to be kind of a chameleon. Like, she was able to adapt. She had to adapt. She had to survive. She had to look after herself. And that's, you know, that's part of this. You just think this vast wilderness of being in somewhere in Montana coming, like I, she was English, right? So she had moved from England to the United States. Are we right about this? The character.
I forget where her and Samuel met. Yeah,
I can't remember either. But I would assume, like, I'm pretty sure she had an accent. Didn't she have an accent? Or am I making
that up? Yeah.
So she.
I don't know. She just cried the whole fucking time. So I don't know what.
Come on now.
She did. That's what she said. Either she's getting boned by Brad or she's crying this whole movie.
Did you see with, like, the freaking rope? She was lassoing cows. She wasn't crying then. She wasn't crying. Did she? When she
we didn't see what happened after she cried.
Gun to her head. Was she crying then?
Yeah, no, she had tears in her eyes.
She was not.
I was glad she killed herself.
Whoa, you are so harsh.
I'm harsh.
That is terrible. I thought.
Well, I mean, she came in and she drove a wedge through this whole family.
She did not drive a wedge through the whole family.
These four boys.
She was a victim to what happened. Just like they were. How did she drive a wedge to the whole family?
She could have hooked up with other people, is what I'm saying. But she chooses the brothers. Well, of course she's going to cause a rift in the family.
She's not choosing all the different brothers. She chose the younger brother. The younger brother died in the World War.
Yeah, but even her, she's like, yeah, I was kind of hoping he'd die.
Yeah, but that's just guilt.
Yeah, I did.
That's just guilt and human.
I made it happen with my witchcraft.
That's just guilt.
She did. You didn't see the scene.
People's human. Was that in the cut? Was that on the cutting room floor?
There was a satanic worship scene? Down at the river in that little hot tub pond that they had. And she killed a goat.
That's just human reaction. That's normal human reaction. Everyone thinks the good and the bad, and they always have, you know, and that's just the reality of it.
I don't know. All I'm saying is that there's these three brothers that had this amazing bond and with their father, and then she came in, and then they all started hating each other. Then all of a sudden the one father doesn't even talk to the older brother. And then the other brother.
The older brother's an idiot.
Was he though?
He was. He went into politics because he thought he was being manipulated by a bunch of bootlegger businessmen who made him adapt laws that would benefit their own pockets. He was a pawn. His brother had good intentions. Don't get me wrong.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Okay. He got used, and I'll give you that. But he was a good person.
Yeah. Sure. But he was an idiot. In the bigger picture of the film, like he maybe was not as wise as maybe some of the other characters. Like, it's a very like anti-government kind of approach.
She was quite selfish. I found. Yeah, because even in the jail, his wife just died. He got arrested. And he's in the jail awaiting. Remember, he had to spend 30 days in jail. They let it go that he killed that police officer.
Right.
But they said, oh, you have to spend 30. And he just gets in the jail. She comes up. And she's like, oh, woo-hoo, oh, Brad Pitt. Ah. And she tries to, like, molest him through the bars.
She's sad. He lost his wife.
Yeah.
She loves him still.
He had just lost his wife, and she's already talking about, I kind of secretly hoped Samuel would die. I kind of hoped that she would die. She's still like, oh, I still think about you being the father of my children. And I was like, his wife just died, and she's still throwing her pussy at him and all this. Pussy. I don't know, man. I swear, if those bars weren't there, she would have jumped on him. I don't know.
I mean, I think she.
But that's what I'm saying. I found her very sure. I get it that she's madly in love with Brad, and nothing compares to him, and this and that and that. But I mean, like, she couldn't even control herself when, you know, I don't know.
The institution.
I don't think it's a good time to be throwing yourself at him after his wife just died, and you'd be like, oh, I wanted us to be together. No,
but she loves him. I think her true love is Brad Pitt. Her true love is Brad Pitt. And the institution of marriage, especially back then, was not necessarily built on love, but built on like arrangement or just survival or just, you know, situational. And this is what made
convenience.
It was more of a,
yeah,
convenience or what
no,
made
I
sense.
Get
or
it.
How,
I
how,
get it.
Especially for people who didn't maybe have opportunity. And so
I got her marrying the older brother when Brad Right. took off that final time, right? Right. You know, no one was left, right? You know, and all that. But yeah, I don't know. Anyways, we could go on. I'm embellishing a little bit how much I hate it, but whatever.
You're being the heel of this story.
Yeah. Someone's got to argue with Russ about it.
Whatever.
She's a skank. And even for 1915.
Wrong. No, she
wasn't. She's promiscuous even for 1915.
No, you can't say that. Not at all. Mm. No, she's not. Mm.
I don't know, man. She's taken in the butt by Brad in that one scene. They didn't do that in 1915.
You can't say that either.
And then she's taken in the butt.
No.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Go back and rewind it, Russ.
I'm not going to do that.
You are. I know. When we got this podcast, you're going to go back and be like, oh, yeah, sounds right. Holy shit. Look at him.
I'm not going to do that.
That scene, though, supposedly, there's a rumor for that sex scene.
And if you can trust anything Sean has just said over the last 10 minutes,
off IMDb, it has to be real.
Yeah, it's on the internet. It's got to be real.
Yeah, it's been rumored that after shooting that love scene, that Brad Pitt and Julia Armand waited around for all crew members to leave before actually making love for real.
Why wouldn't they just go to their trailer? Why would they stay on set for that?
Well, because they were probably there. They were probably in the bed and they were naked because of the scene. So they were probably waiting for the crew to leave so they could get up and get changed without, you know, in privacy. And then once the crew probably left, they were probably still naked. And supposedly there was a lot of sexual tension between them. Mm. And that they
different time
just having sex. They supposedly stayed in the same, like, they rented a house or something like that in Calgary while they were there. And they stayed in the same residence to create that sexual tension between each other.
Supposedly. Oh, you'd think they'd keep them apart just to like build the sexual tension versus, like,
I don't know, but you could, together. Well, look what she did. She was just throwing her. She couldn't wait
don't
to throw
stop it. No, no,
she couldn't
no
wait
more,
to
no,
throw
no,
herself.
No,
at
don't
him.
Stop it. So Legends of the Fall won an Oscar for the cinematography.
Mm. Good.
Yeah. I think Brad Pitt may have been nominated for a Golden Globe.
I think I skimmed across that. Yeah.
But this was obviously that film that kind of got Brad Pitt noticed. And he was getting noticed obviously already by two films that we've already looked at, is Thelma and Louise and True Romance. He was in The River Runs Through It. And then I think the film prior to this, he was in California, which actually, when you watch like old Siskel and Ebert videos, that was one of the ones that they started to notice him from. But I think from this, people are like, no, wait, Brad Pitt is a serious actor.
He was good in California.
I don't think I've ever seen California.
He's really dirty and like plays like a really redneck kind of trailer trash character. And yeah, he's scary in it. He's pretty scary.
Yeah. So I enjoyed. Thank you for bringing this movie back. I hadn't seen it since probably, I don't know, 1995.
I think I enjoy Brad more in his senior days here. Not that he's a senior, but you know what I mean? I think I enjoy older Brad Pitt over younger Brad Pitt as far as acting chops. You know, and I mean, that just, of course, I mean, the more you practice at something, the better you are. So it's only fair to say that his acting got better over time. But, yeah. Anyways, you wanted to play a little game here.
Yeah. I'm gonna go forward.
Legends of the Fall. Let's just kind of wrap it up.
Yeah,
we went back, watched it.
Wrap it.
Yeah, it's nice to look at. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah, it was fine. If people haven't seen it for a long time, I think there's enough there to keep your mind going.
I mean, you're just
a little corny at times, but
yeah. Just turn off the audio and just look at Brad Pitt and some mountains for a little bit.
100%. Sean loves a good Brad Pitt. I'm gonna go forward and then I'm gonna go back.
Okay,
Sean. We all know that if people want to send us an email and complain about how vulgar you are, they can do that by emailing jarppodcast@gmail.com.
And that's jarppodcast@gmail.com?
Correct. Sean, we have an email. I'm going to read it to you.
Email? Oh, shit.
Okay, here we go. Hello, Jarp.
Is this real? Wait, is this real?
You didn't write this. This is a real email.
Okay, wait.
That I'm going to read to you now for the first time.
Here we go. It's not Jason?
Here we go. Hello, Jarp. I just wanted to let you know I am enjoying your podcast so much. I listen to you at work during real stressful times, and it always makes me feel better. I love the friendly banter between you two, and I always love hearing the stories from your childhood. If you guys are looking for any new show suggestions, may I suggest checking out the show called Dave? It is really good. It is based loosely on the life of Lil Dicky, the white Jewish rapper. I think you both would really enjoy it and find it funny and entertaining. Plus, then I would have actually seen a show that you talk about. Have you heard of the show, Dave?
Dave, yeah, I know Lil Dicky. I've never seen the show.
Oh, this will be my pick for next time. We'll figure out where the show is and we'll watch that for next time.
Okay.
Thank you, email.
Thank you. Thank you, large member 47.
Member at large.
_ member at large.
He also recommends What If on Disney Plus, which I've been watching, so I've already seen most of it.
I didn't start that one yet.
He comments a little bit about The Walking Dead, because we've been talking about The Walking Dead. Just talking about that the Walking Dead is finishing up the last season. The Fear of the Walking Dead has just finished season 6. Had no idea it was going that far. And it says, in my opinion, this has become the best Walking Dead property. So that's kind of cool. That's good.
The Fear of the Walking Dead?
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. He also says there's a show called The Walking Dead World Beyond. Had no idea that that existed. Season 2 will start in October. He said, but season 1 wasn't very good. Okay, and then he says, okay, another, he or she, I don't know who it could be. Another thought that might be fun for you guys is to do a top 10 list during the episode.
Oh.
People love top lists. As an example, with the latest episode, you guys could have done a top list of best James Cameron movies. So this was obviously Terminator 2 that he probably listened to last.
Right.
So something that's related to the episode. So Sean.
Okay.
This is from a podcast, friend of the pod.
Thank you. Friend of the pod, Jason.
Thank you, Jason. So we are, Jason, thank you very much for emailing us. We are going to do the top 10 Brad Pitt, best movies of Brad Pitt.
Okay, best movies, right? Not best Brad Pitt roles.
Yeah, see, it's gray for me. I think when I was making this list, I thought about his roles and the movies at the same time. So I can't define where one comes in and one doesn't.
I went off how much I liked the movie that he was in. Okay. I didn't necessarily base it off his performance, but the movie. He was in the movie, and this is my top 10.
Okay, do you want to go first?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, we just read them off?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you want.
I'll start from the 10 and go to number 1.
Sounds great.
10 would be Spy Game.
Okay.
9 would be Interview with the Vampire.
Oh, geez.
8 would be A River Runs Through It.
Mm-hmm.
7 would be Legends of the Fall.
Mm-hmm.
6 would be Thelma and Louise.
Oh, geez.
5 would be Moneyball.
Mm-hmm.
4 would be 12 Monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
3 would be Fight Club.
Mm-hmm.
2 would be 7.
Wow.
And my favorite Brad Pitt,
here we go,
movie that he's in is True Romance.
Oh.
Even though he had such a small role, but he was still in it.
Yeah. Here we go. I don't know how I really reviewed it, if it was the movie or Brad Pitt, but this is just the way I did. Number 10, the Ocean 11 movies. Number 9, Legends of the Fall. Number 8, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Number 7, Snatch. Number 6, 12 Monkeys. Number 5, Fight Club. Number 4, Moneyball. Number 3, True Romance. Number 2, Inglourious Basterds. Where was Inglourious Basterds in your list? And number 1, 7. Oh, 7, we will watch them fall.
Inglourious Basterds is one of my least favorite Quentin Tarantino movies.
Oh, shoot. I like
I'm not saying it's a bad movie. Bastards. Not saying it's a bad... I'm saying it's one of my least favorite Tarantino movies.
I also really like Brad Pitt in Inglourious Basterds.
He was good in Inglourious Basterds, for sure. But the movie, it's... If you wanted me to rate characters... That one, then he probably would have been a lot higher up.
Okay, okay.
From that character. I think I was
maybe thinking about characters more than I was the movies.
I was thinking, I went with the movie itself. Yeah, yeah. If he was in the movie, how much did I like it? And then I just kind of wrote them all down and then, well, I'd watch that one over that one. I'd watch that one over that one. Oh, yeah. If you could watch, so I do that. I kind of pair them up and be like, if you could only watch one of these two, which one would it be? And then that's how I...
Yeah, there you go, list. Jason. We made a top 10 list for you. Thank you very much for the suggestion in the email. This is Stargazing, where we talk about the things that we're looking forward to, that we're maybe watching outside of the podcast. It could be a movie, could be a show, could be a book, could be a YouTube video, could be anything. But first, let's start with Trailer Talk. That's where we look at some of the trailers that are dropped on the World Wide Web that we can get excited about, movies that are coming up this fall, 2021. We are filming this. We're not filming anything. We're recording this on September 19th, 2021, which will come, you know, people will be able to understand why if we don't actually release this for another 2 months.
2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
I can get at it.
Well, now I've said the date, so people will know the real truth. But the night of the Emmys. So tonight's the Emmys. So I think that's right.
Yeah.
So there's some Emmy shit happening right now. I'm sure if we looked on our computer, we could tell who won the Emmys.
This is more important.
Yeah, okay. So talk to me about some trailers there, Sean.
Well, The Matrix 4 dropped. Mm-hmm. That was pretty sweet. They did this really cool marketing campaign a couple days leading up to it where you would pick either the blue or red pill and it did this cool little thing where it would talk to you and then it like showed you the time that you were watching the trailer at or whatever like that. So it kind of gave you this customized trailer. It was neat. Anyways, cool. The full trailer then dropped a couple days after and I watched it a couple times trying to go down the rabbit hole and all that. Really interested how they're going to pick up the story. You know,
John Wick's in it.
John Wick is in it. Don't fuck with Keanu, man.
Good for Keanu.
Remember when like everyone would make fun of Keanu Reeves? Yeah. You know, he's like, and now he is like the pinnacle of action star. The guy would kick the living shit out of you and could like he's like a martial artist superstar and he's like probably the most humble like one of the most nicest guys. So no, what I'm getting is nobody makes fun of Keanu Reeves.
No one makes fun of him now.
He's amazing. Yeah, that's
but
I'm
I
saying.
Think but the thing was in context of his film career, like he did Bill and Ted's, and so it would be very hard for society to immediately take Keanu seriously after doing Bill and Ted's
and even his role in Parenthood, it's pretty Bill and Ted-ish, right? Which we reviewed.
So I'm excited about that. I like it. It looks actually really good.
I like the Matrix movies. Only one Wachowski came back to do it. The other one, I don't know. I guess just wasn't interested anymore. I didn't read anything about why the other one's not interested in it.
I remember hearing something about it a long time ago, but I'm not feeling comfortable to speak on it. Why? But it looks cool. Looks super interesting. Interesting of like the Morpheus. If that is really Morpheus.
It is Morpheus. That's the thing.
So he is playing Morpheus.
He is playing Morpheus, but it's not supposed to be Lawrence Fishburne's Morpheus, just another actor playing that character. It's actually another version of Morpheus.
Right.
So remember back in The Matrix when they're talking about how they had done it, they had gone through about 6 or 7 cycles. The whole thing of starting up the Matrix, letting the universe populate or whatever. They, you know, some people would escape, build Zion for a couple years, and then there'd be this great rebellion, and then the robots would win and everything would get reset. They had ended up actually doing that. Oh, but I think the Neo that we watch is the 7th iteration of Neo. So the Matrix had been going on for, who knows? I'm just guessing here. Let's say 6 iterations. He's like 30, you know, maybe almost 200 years, right? Getting reset maybe every 30, 40 years after this big rebellion. And then the 7th time, the one that we watch, the Matrix that we watch, they changed things up and they were successful for once in winning the war against the machines. So they came to a compromise and said, okay, well, we're going to start up the Matrix one last time. And those that want to be free can be free. And those that want to stay in the Matrix can stay in the Matrix. They set up a balance, right? So I'm kind of thinking that this next Matrix is yet another, is the 8th iteration of the Matrix with some changes. That's why it looks all, you know, the original Matrix was all grimy and dirty, but now this one, the opening shot, it's all kind of looks like San Francisco. It's like a nice sunset and stuff like that. So it's not as a dystopian Matrix anymore. So they're changing things up. And I don't know. I don't know. It's called Resurrection, and Neo died in the 3rd one, so they've somehow resurrected him, and I don't know, and I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting. Anyways, cool science fiction movie that really lends itself to a lot of water cooler talk about what's going on, right? I like that shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's becoming, as we all, where we live right now, we all have to have vaccination passports if we want to do anything, if we want to go to a restaurant, if we want to go recreate. The world's getting smaller and we're being more under the microscope and managed than before. So it is, it's interesting.
Well, it almost became folklore in a sense that some people started taking some of the ideology within the Matrix as truth. You know, some people were actually questioning, like, are we actually in a simulation in the Matrix? You know,
which obviously we are.
Yeah, probably. Everything tastes like chicken. So
I love chicken.
Chicken or turkey?
I think chicken. I mean, on a day-to-day basis, chicken for sure. Like, you could do chicken. Yeah, chicken. Yeah. Turkey, tryptamine. What's the drug in turkey? Is it tryptophan? Tryptocene?
Goodness.
Is it the goodness drug?
It's the goodness.
What makes me feel so good after eating turkey? Is it the goodness drug?
It's the big poo after, I think.
What am I after?
I must lose a couple pounds.
When I go. Oh. Okay.
Okay, Bobcat.
Yeah, I think if I really tried to get into it, I'd break my microphone. That's my excuse for not committing.
Well, we ran a little long today, but I think our energy was up the whole time. So,
thank God. Please send us a JARP podcast at gmail.com or give us a follow on the Instagram. Appreciate you guys.
Yes, we do. We appreciate
thanks.
All
thanks,
of you.
Jason, for the email. Hi, Richard. Who else is listening?
Colin. Colin's listening.
Colin. Hi, Colin. And Matt, maybe. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, Matt says he's starting to listen.
All right. 4 people. Thanks, guys.
There we go.
Bye,
Sean. This is for you. We love you. Bye,
bye
guys.
Bye.
I like this and you like